Yeah, welcome in to the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Ian Safar, Joe Rex Road will be along here in just a couple of minutes. And boy, do we have a lot going on the program here today. Eric Kane from VolQuest will be with us at 7:30. It is a massive game between Tennessee and Alabama coming up tomorrow. Teron Davenport, his weekly visit at 8 o'clock. Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30. And we will get into, obviously, the Titans and the Patriots and a huge game between LSU and Vanderbilt as well. So we got a whole lot going on around here this weekend. Ian Safar, good morning. How are you? What's going on?
Good morning, Robert. I am good. How are you today?
Doing good. Doing good. Got to watch the sports last night.
Yeah.
How about Joe Flacco?
Turned
the clock
bowl,
back
huh?
last night in the old man bowl and just balling out there. I mean, Flacco's got to be thrilled to be away from the Browns in that situation.
For sure.
And at the moment, he's throwing the ball to Ja'Marr Chase, which I saw last night.
And T. Higgins.
And T. Higgins. So, Ja'Marr Chase had 16 catches for 161 yards and a touchdown last night. On 23 targets.
I mean, when you're Flacco, when you go from the Browns to Cincinnati as far as skill position, I mean, that's a pretty big upgrade.
Yeah.
Flacco hadn't been playing great with the Browns, but when you compare who he's throwing the ball to, you know, he's not afraid to pepper his number one target.
It's a little different.
And we've seen that in general throughout his career. You know, he'll throw to the playmakers. And there's just, when you go from Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins.
It's a little different.
Yeah.
So. A little different out there. Flacco, 31 of 47 for 342 yards and three touchdowns last night. Quarterback rating of 108.6. I mean, by the way, Rodgers, I mean, you know, Rodgers threw a couple of picks, but he was 23 of 34, four touchdowns, two picks, quarterback rating of 103.7.
Yeah, he looked pretty good.
So the
too.
Old heads looked pretty good. Last night out there playing. Pretty good Thursday night game.
Hope you took the over.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they were putting up points. It was back and forth. Jonnu Smith was making some plays.
Did you see Rodgers get tackled by his offensive lineman and then got up like he was ready to fight?
No, I missed that.
And he threw a touchdown pass and was hopping off the field, got tackled from behind by his old lineman, and got up and was like literally punching the guy.
Okay,
he was like,
yeah.
I'm going to kill you. Don't tackle me.
I watched the Purds back. The Purds are back.
That was not a good one.
They blew that game pretty hardcore. So yep. I watched that. And then I'm still on my Amazon pause.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm still audio only. So I listened to the second half of the football game.
Okay.
I didn't watch, but yeah. So, yeah, not great from the Preds, though. That was disappointing.
There are certain times that you get a point and you feel pretty good about it. You're like, okay. I mean, watch, you're all 3-1 heading into the game. And if you tell somebody heading into the game that they were going to get a point, you probably take it, given the situation. And then you watch the gameplay and you're like, no, I would not take it. Like, that needs to be two. Like, you're up by a goal with 19 seconds left. And, like, you know, I don't blame Marchessault necessarily, because he's trying to, you know, he's trying to score and put it in the empty net. But his shot gets blocked by Lane Hudson. He makes an incredible play, get the puck up to Caulfield.
Quick transition.
And Caulfield, just a beautiful shot, ties it, and then they win it in overtime with like 3 seconds left. So, like, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, obviously, but if you're Marchessault on that play, like, if you just dump the puck in the corner, you win the game, right? Like, the
Kill
game's
some,
over.
Like, yep.
They're not going to go back
Kill the
there
time
and,
like that. Yeah.
And transition the way that they did, so. That was as Alex Doherty put it, that was a very last year Preds looking loss that they had last night, which is not what you want.
Good way to put it. Yeah.
That is not what you want from the Nashville Predators. So, I mean, they're 2-1-2. It's not a bad start. It's now no longer really a good start either. Like, it's just kind of like, okay, you're 2-1-2. And they go to Winnipeg tomorrow to close out the road trip. So, you know, they're still 6 points in 5 games.
Yeah, I mean, if you
not horrific,
you win the game against Winnipeg, it's a good road trip.
Yeah, if you win a game against Winnipeg, it's a good road trip. So that's kind of where the focus needs to be right now if you're them. So we'll see if they can handle that. But yeah, a point basically given away last night by the Nashville Predators.
That would have, you had a chance right there to really cement a good start with that win. But hey, It's a chance for a quick rebound on Saturday.
Yes. So we'll see if they can do that against a team that they have struggled with lately, and that is the Winnipeg Jets. So we'll see if they can do that coming up this weekend. We welcome in Joe Rexroad to the program. Joseph, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good. You know, sorry I'm late. You know what the worst is when you start to accelerate past a police officer and you realize, oh, crap, that's a police officer, which is what happened. Oh, right over there yonder on Murfreesboro Pike.
Oh, boy.
It's like, woo, bro! And we were kind of like right next to each other. And I was like, he's thinking about drifting back and popping me, right? And then I went, boom, quick turn, left turn, traffic coming.
Say woo,
right in front of it. Bye. So I think we're okay. Woo. Yeah,
so
sorry.
What you're telling me is there's a chance a police officer could be entering the building here in a minute.
I mean,
keep an eye out that window.
Yeah. I think he was like, yeah, you're fine.
Have you seen this man?
I mean, it was like if I would have kept going at the rate I was at, then it would have been, you know, then it would have been pretty significant speeding, but I had just started to do it. So
you weren't at Kuharsky speed, so you're all good.
Yeah. What is the speed limit right here at Murfreesboro Pike, by the way?
I think it's like 45.
45.
Yeah. So I think I'd gotten to about 56.
Okay.
And was right to his left. And then I'm like, ah!
Yeah, that's
so, I mean, I was going to hit 60 quick.
Yeah.
You know?
At 70, wasn't too far away.
Yeah. I mean, I probably would have topped out about 62 and then zoomed right in here. But yeah, you know, I was actually going to come in super early. You know, you have those sometimes where you, you can't go back to sleep.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, oh, I guess I hit snooze 8 times in a row. Oops. So, good stuff.
Good stuff.
But so the Bengals won, huh?
The Bengals won. They did. Flacco turning the clock back a little bit.
I heard, yeah. 60, I mean, Jamar Chase is only 10 yards a catch.
I know.
I mean, you know, it's like, great, 160 yards on 10 yards a catch.
Get those numbers up a little bit there, boss.
It is like, he's a great, for anybody wants to argue like the whole quarterback and what's around you type thing. I mean, Flacco's pretty good test case, like in real time. I mean, he just got there, just learned the offense. You know, sometimes they still have these false starts where they don't even know what the snap count's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden he looks like a totally different dude because of who he's throwing to.
Yeah.
So maybe Joe Burrow isn't that. Uh-oh. Wait, what's happening here? Are we in trouble?
No.
Someone, Dagwood came in. I'm like, uh-oh. Is this?
The cops are outside.
No. Okay, jeez. Give me a heart attack.
It's like, by the way, there's 3 policemen outside wanting to speak with a certain member of the radio show.
They would have left you alone, but you started talking about it on the radio.
They came back to exactly where to find you.
This was a good news note that you'd probably like from Dagwood. He has put some new music in the system for you.
Sweet. Sweet.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I think some Kiss songs.
Oh, Ace Frehley. Yes. Rest in peace, Ace Frehley.
Rest in peace.
Frehley's Comet. Okay. I mean, that's cool. Don't freak us out like that.
Rexroad was legitimately terrified for a second. He's like, wait a minute.
Here's a note.
Did they actually circle back? Do I have to go have a conversation right now?
Send Joe out now.
Yes.
ASAP.
Do it immediately.
So the Preds, the blue one, man.
Yeah. Not good last night. Had the game won, and then all of a sudden they didn't.
Yeah.
In overtime.
Yeah.
Kind of, it was reminiscent of last year, which is not what you want. Not what you want.
Last year.
Just the way that they blew some games last year, it was kind of reminiscent of that.
Yeah, they had a few of those.
Yeah.
The late third.
Yeah.
With the one goal lead that you give up.
Yep.
Marchessault has a chance to, you know,
ice it. And this is probably going to be, you know, probably a team that needs every point that they can get, would be my guess. And that's one you let get away last night. So we'll see. You can get back on the track. Winnipeg, that's a tough place to go play. But we'll see if they can do it. It is going to be weird to see Jonathan Toews in a Jets jersey. I haven't watched them play yet. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I have not seen them
play. Oh, it's Jonathan Toews out there playing for the Winnipeg Jets. That'll be weird.
That is weird. That is very weird.
Be very weird stuff. We got a lot to get to on the Titans front. And I want to ask this question to Titans fans. And we're going to get into a lot of different things throughout the show. As we said, a very busy weekend coming up in the world of sports around here.
How much satisfaction will Titans have fans have if in the same week you get Callahan fired and then you come out on Sunday and you hand Mike Vrabel a big fat L? How much of a satisfying week would that be for you if you're a Titans fan? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Bob and Antioch to the program. Bob, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome. And actually, this morning I'm in Montreal. I went to the Montreal game last night. That's a great place to go to a game. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's terrific. My question is, Saros is playing out of his mind, but it looked to me last night, and it seemed to me all year so far, that he's really masking a lot of defensive shortcomings. I'm still worried about their defense. I was wondering how you guys felt about that.
Yeah, thank you, Bob, and glad you had a good time up there in Montreal. I would say this. Saros looks very good to begin the year. Overall, as a team, I don't think they look that good. Defensively, I actually think they look better than they did last year. They're not some just absolute blown-open hole out there like they were last year at times. So I think they've made some progress defensively, and we'll see what they look like when Haig is in there, and I don't think he's that far away. But Saros is playing great to begin the year. There's no doubt about that. Overall, they just don't look very dangerous. And Stamkos kind of talked about that last night. He's like, when you got a chance to put teams away, you got to put teams away. And offensively, they just don't look very good. They just don't look like a good team offensively right now. Power play is a big part of that, but they don't look very dangerous.
Very early. It just seems like they're going to have to, they're going to have to win like some of those Barry Trotz teams, right? If you can do that, it's a much more enjoyable year than last year.
Yes.
You hang in there, right?
Yes.
Be competitive and probably have to win a decent amount of 2-1, 3-2 games.
And look, it's been a week. They've been playing hockey for 1 week.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's still a long way to go here. But it's good that Saros looks as good as he does to begin the year. That's a very good thing. So we'll see if he can keep it up, and if they can keep it up and play in the way they're going to have to play to win, but that's a good thing early in the year that he looks as good as he does. So, Joe, let me toss the Titans question at you this way. It's been an interesting week around here. A lot of Titans fans clamoring for Callahan to be fired, and they got it. And now Vrabel's coming in. And we talked about this the other day, and I heard from some people last night on Twitter. There are still some Titans fans that view this and say, yeah, I really want Vrabel to come in here and absolutely destroy us so to embarrass Amy Adams Strong. There are some of those Titans fans that feel that way.
And to not out there. And to not give her any encouragement that anything she's doing is good.
Right. And I've also seen I don't want Mike McCoy as the head coach, so I don't want Mike McCoy to start winning games. So there's a lot of layers to all this. And then I've heard from some Titans fans that are like, all these people are idiots. It's the Titans. It's your team. Go root for them to win. So there's a wide range of opinions on all of this. My question for Titans fans, if you're one of those fans out there, you get the Callahan firing, and then let's say the Titans go out there and they do play well and they win the game on Sunday. How satisfactory will that be to get the Callahan firing and to immediately go out there and get a win against Vrabel in the same week? Or are most Titans fans looking at this like, don't really love our owner, don't really want her to get any satisfaction, don't really want to screw up the draft pick, and don't want Mike McCoy to be the interim or to be the head coach moving forward, so let's not do that. It's a very interesting kind of situation this fan base is in heading into this game based on what I've seen from some of our reaction.
Yeah, I'd love to know what the actual split on that is. I think it's legitimately a big group on all of both sides of that. I think maybe it has something to do with how you feel about Mike Vrabel. There's people who are like, I'm glad they fired him. And maybe less so now, but certainly when he got fired, it's not like the entire fan base was screaming and crying about it, right? Some were. And I sided more with people like, I just don't think it's a good move. He's going to get scooped up, and obviously he spent the year in Cleveland, but he got scooped up, and he's a good coach. I think people who
were angry about that firing and think he's good and think they screwed it up, I think they're more likely to be like, come in here and kick our ass, Vrabel.
Yep.
You know? And people who are like, you guys are overrating Vrabel a little bit. Which I think that's a fair conversation to have too. I think some people can overstate what he's done.
Yeah.
Now, he's a very good coach. But I think people who are tend to like dislike him slash think he was overrated and stuff like that, I think they're more like, I'd love to shut everybody up and beat Vrabel. So I think it probably splits that way on your feelings on Vrabel. But, yeah, it's like, I mean, there's the Amy thing. There's the McCoy thing. There's also the number one pick thing.
Yeah.
And I don't – I mean, like, when your team is this bad, I can't blame a fan. Like, you know, I think sometimes fans get too early into stuff like the number one pick and all that stuff. But, like this particular team and this stretch this team's on, I can't blame a fan for, like, you know, like, the whole, you are a Titans fan and you must root for the Titans. No, I don't – you know what? They've screwed you so much with their awfulness, you can do whatever you want.
Well, and they're just so bad. Like, everybody sees how far away they are that you start to look ahead and you're like, well, this is just going to – you know, Kuharsky's talked about this a couple times. This still doesn't feel like – a one-off season fix, right? Like, they got a lot of holes. So it's like, well, if they got this many holes, we might as well put ourselves in a good enough position to try to address as many of them as possible. Like, I don't blame Titans fans for feeling that way at all. Look, on the Vrabel front, you know, like you said, pretty clear on this show, thought it was a mistake to fire Vrabel, and I think it's probably playing out that way. I do think people go too far the other way, too. Like, there's some people that are like, yo, well, Vrabel's one of the handful of best coaches in the league. It's like, well, is he? Like, I think he's a good coach. Is he like a top five coach in the NFL? I'm not willing to go there yet. Like, there's still some work that he's got to demonstrate here. Now, the one thing that's really interesting here, because one of the big criticisms of Vrabel at the end, and one thing that a lot of people who wanted Vrabel gone used against him was, well, the guy can't develop a quarterback. Like, the guy can't, he's not the guy you want if you're developing a quarterback. And it's like, well, does he have an inability to develop a quarterback, or does he just not have good quarterback play at the end of this here? Like, you know, Tannehill is its own thing. He came in, he didn't have to develop Tannehill. Like, Tannehill was an established player. But he got, like, 9 games with Will Levis, and that all of a sudden we determined he couldn't develop a quarterback at that front. And now Drake May, I don't know if you noticed it, looks pretty good out there. Doesn't look like Vrabel's some big hindrance to Drake May.
Yeah, and the Mariota thing, I mean, Vrabel's first year, Mariota misses the win an end game with his neck thing.
Year 5 for Marcus,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like, so I don't think that there's any – I mean, the only argument for that is he's not a quarterback developer, right?
Right.
Like, that's not what he does. But, again, ask Dan Quinn – ask the Commanders and Jaden Daniels if Dan Quinn is hindering him. I mean, if you have good people that you hire, then you should be fine there. So, yeah, I think that one's silly. Quickly, the text I'm driven by WilsonCanyon.com. 615-737-1025. Jonathan says, I'd rather see Chad Brinker fired than have a win this weekend. Skyler says, fart the Titans. I hope Vrabel takes his belt off and whoops the team's ass and then flips Amy Adams off while walking off the field. So there's a fair amount of points. Like, Matthew Jolden, the New England Vrabel's by 50 over the two-tone trash cans, and I'm a Titans fan. Okay, I need to hear.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this fan base.
I need to hear some people who are like, yes, kill Vrabel!
Yeah.
I'm not.
Laverne on the YouTube chat says, my stepdad's sister and I will be selling our tickets the rest of the season. It's a lost year. We've been season ticket holders since 2000. So,
yeah, again, all
these. What's a crowd going to look like on Sunday?
Well, yeah, it's going to be. The Patriots fans are excited. I mean, Patriots fans have not been this excited in a while, right? Like, I mean, you know, the Brady era ended with the Titans, you know, sticking it to them in Foxborough and Logan Ryan picking off, getting a pick six on Brady and walking in the end zone. I mean, since then, they've had, you know, they had a little bit of hope with Mac Jones, right? They had, I mean, as a rookie, there was some hope. He almost beat Brady in that one game. But I think they're as excited and mobilized as a fan base as they've been in like 5 years. I think they're going to be absolutely dominant in that place. So it's like, so Vrabel will be, he will be, to me, cheered loudly, but I think it's, but you can't, you won't be able to tell if it's like Patriots or Titans fans. There'll be more Patriots fans than Titans fans.
Yeah. No, you know? I'm really interested to see what the crowd is going to look like because, you know, again, you fired the coach this week, but it's also okay, you fired the coach, and now you look at the schedule and like, oh, good, 11 games left of an interim operation with a team we all know is not very good. So what's that going to look like? And by the way, like, I'm looking at the forecast, you know, 65 degrees with a 67% chance of rain on Sunday too. So we'll see what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a special set of circumstances.
Watch out. Yeah, so that's a deterrent for people. But if you're a Patriots fan who's either come to town or even you're like, this is your chance to see your team and you live around here, you're still going to go. So the Patriots fans are still going to show up in that stuff. I can't blame a Titans fan, you know, who doesn't want to. Texture says, if Mike McCoy does a good job and the Titans show improvement, why wouldn't you want him to be the coach? Well,
because
you want a better coach.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that if they show improvement, you can't consider Mike McCoy. But as Kuharski said, you've got the entire world open to you right now to go get a head coach. Like, if you're a Titans fan, I guarantee you, there are a very, very small number of Titans fans that we sit here right now that are like, well, yeah, Mike McCoy, he ought to be our next coach. Like, we'll see. Look, the Titans have been, in my opinion, so poorly coached along with a terrible roster, which is why they've been as bad as they've been, that I wouldn't be surprised if they do show some improvement moving forward here, right? I wouldn't be surprised if the quarterback plays a little bit better now that they've made this coaching move. But, I mean, the question you got to ask yourself is, I mean, how much better they're going to have to play for you to be like, oh, yeah, Mike McCoy is our guy that we're going to give this job to?
Yeah, it'd have to be awfully impressive, man. It'd have to be, I don't know about night and day, but it'd have to be a vast difference. I know Mularkey got it 10 years ago, just going 2-7, but it's hard for me to get there at this point. Robert says, I hope Vrabel comes in here and curb stomps the Titans. Amy has to get away from making decisions for this team. That is the overwhelming sentiment right now. But there's got to be some of you who hate Vrabel, right, who want him to lose. I mean
like, we're not hearing from any of them right
come
now.
Come on. Where's the Vrabel haters?
Probably not.
Well, this is text says Vrabel's a fine coach, but he mostly hired bad to mediocre assistants and coordinators. His insistence to keep his guys who were not good at all is why he was shown the door. Yeah, I mean, look, like, again, there's fair criticism of Vrabel. I mean, I think some people – I saw this thing, like this Todd Downey thing. Somebody who covers the Patriots like, Todd Downey's going to be, And then, of course, Stilley's like, So, but there's a middle ground. Like some people here seriously think that, like, Todd Downey, and I know the plane from Green Bay and all that stuff, like, that was the night it all turned.
It was a rough one.
Completely turned. I mean, that night is, like, the dividing line, even though the A.J. Brown trade is. But that night, it's like, it went totally to crap from there. But, like,
somebody
Todd Downey.
Back at the Lambeau and find, like, what happened here?
Seriously, like, what they must have, did they go get their like palms red and they got a curse or something? Like, I mean, Downey went and got a tattoo, got his palm red, and he cursed the whole organization. But it's also like, I mean, Todd Downey, like, it's not like he's like incapable. He knows what a football looks like, right?
Yeah.
We get a little bit exaggerated with some of this stuff.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More your thoughts on Vrabel coming to town this weekend. I mean, do any Titans fans want to win this game? Let's hear from you. 615-737-1025, our phone number, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football games. Monday Night matchups are the Bucks taking on the Lions and the Texans taking on the Seahawks, because thank God we have two Monday Night games.
So this is the actual doubleheader model, though.
Yep.
That's another thing. They do the thing where they like start one an hour later, but this is like the 6 o'clock and the 9 o'clock. I mean, I guess like I prefer that. I guess like,
but yeah, better than both of them going at the same
straight,
time.
Yeah, six straight hours of football, I suppose. I mean,
it's like ESPN looking around, it's like, well, it's the Titans and the Dolphins. Do we have to put them on Monday Night Football? Well, let's throw somebody else up at the same time.
But it's like, so that's 10 Eastern. Like,
yeah,
you're starting a game. Okay, I don't know. Listen, I mean, the text line, if the text line is representative of the fan base, then it is
not good for the text.
It's a bit of a landslide. Of course, yeah, here we go. Dustin from Hopkinsville. I want more than anything for Vrabel to wax that bottom Sunday. I want that more than I want Cam Ward to develop into Mahomes. She's a terrible owner. Even when it gets better, she implodes it. It's a reoccurring cycle. Super Bowl we were in, it was under her dad. She's lucky with Vrabel and tinkled it away. I mean, there has to – I need some people who can counter this, you know.
I want it more than I want Cam Ward to be good.
Okay, Samantha says, I want this more than I want to breathe oxygen, okay? I will suffocate if we can have Vrabel kick my butt in the process. Samantha says, I like Vrabel, didn't want him to get fired, but I still always hope my Titans win.
Okay, there we go.
I
mean, there's gotta be, thank you, Samantha.
There's got to be some more people. Yeah, Matthew Van Jolten, I want Vrabel to come in and embarrass this organization from top to bottom. Liam McLeod, as checked out in this franchise I've ever been. I really don't care much right now for Lillard. Let me try that
well
again.
Well said.
I really don't care much right now if we win or lose. At this point, a loss is better for us long term, but Vrabel's a jerk. So wiping that smirk off his face would be fine too.
Yeah,
I figured they'd be a little bit more of that. But I think that Titans fans, right now, what I'm getting is, oh, here we go. I like this one. David from Paris. I want the game to end in a tie just to piss everyone off. Watch all the haters on both sides head explode would be way more entertaining. There we go.
I've already watched one of those this year. I don't want to watch another one.
But for the most part, Robbie, Titans fans, do you have this ready, Ian? Titans fans. The Titans fans are Artie Fufkin from Palmer Records. And if you don't understand my reference, well, then you didn't do your homework assignment.
Do me a favor. Just kick my ass, okay? Nothing. Kick this ass for a man, that's all. Kick my ass. No. Enjoy. Come on. I'm not asking, I'm telling with this. Kick my ass.
Thank you, Artie Fufkin, Polymer Records. And if you do get that reference, you're welcome, because that was Paul Schaefer playing Artie Fufkin for Polymer Records in the amazing movie that we all should see. I bet you haven't seen it yet, Robbie.
Nope.
Spinal Tap. This is Spinal Tap. They had a bad
crowd. You seen the second one?
No, I know. No. If it's still at whatchamacallit, I've been meaning to go to.
Well, that's like a month ago.
I know. I'll get there. But Artie Fufkin from Polymer Records, you know, they didn't have a good crowd at the show, so he's like, guys, kick my ass.
Yeah.
And this is what Titans fans are saying. I'm not asking. I'm telling Vrabel. Kick our ass.
I think we need more Titans fans fired up about the opportunity to beat Vrabel. That's what we need.
Here's one. I hate Vrabel. I want to see that egotistical smirk wiped off his face. I want him stress smoking at halftime. There we go.
That's
we can lose every
like
single game the rest of the season if the football gods give us this one win. That, I figured there'd be some more of that. Okay, good. I mean, we've got a mix of ideas
here. Okay, all right.
It's an interesting either or. It really is. I get both sides.
It is a very interesting either or. So, speaking of interesting, I'm reading a topic that you've put on our little show plan here, which is a very extensive show plan that we always have. Every show, which is why we do our pre-show meetings, all throughout the hours of the night.
Yeah.
And you've thrown out the idea, now that the Callahan firing has happened, is this going to impact Vanderbilt or Tennessee? And people may hear that and say, what do you mean Brian Callahan, the firing impacting Vanderbilt and Tennessee? What does that mean? Where are you going with this one, Retro? Because I'm very intrigued.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, I wrote that wrong. I'm not saying the Callahan affects it. I'm saying because Callahan blew up this topic from 3 days ago.
Okay.
Now, that would be a hell of a topic.
That's what I thought you were saying.
Whoa.
I was like, wait a minute.
Galaxy brain over here.
How did this happen? Are you planning on Callahan joining Clark Lee's staff?
I did hear, by the way, I heard Clark on with DVD and you know, it was obviously, you know, he's upset for his friend. That I think you brought up that idea the other day. Maybe.
I mean, same city.
I mean, why not? Like, if you're Clark Lee, why not? Hey, man, you want to? I mean, like, you know, you have kids in school. Like, you're not going to pick up right now and leave, right? Yeah. Why not pop over here and, you know, whatever. They don't have to pay him anything, right?
Probably no, he's getting paid well. He's
getting paid well. So I would expect to see. Maybe Saturday. I'm gonna look out there. I'm gonna get my binoculars from the press box and see if I can see.
It's like, wow, Brian Callahan's coaching the quarter. He's coaching Diego Pavia out there.
Vanderbilt fans are like, no,
stay away, Brian. Good happen.
That good.
Let's head to our phone line. Welcome in David to the program. David, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, gentlemen. How are y'all doing?
Doing good.
Good.
Don't this seem like the classic Vrabel special, coming off the big win on the road in Buffalo and coming into miserable Music City and just drop a stinker of a game to the piss-poor Titans?
Yes, that's what I've been feeling all week. I mean, I agree. Now, the point these two guys have made is there's so much attention on this. It's not one of those sleepwalk into a game and you get surprised, right?
The Vrabel special was probably last week. They, you know, they beat Buffalo 2 weeks ago, and they went on the road to New Orleans last week. Like, that was setting up pretty good for a Vrabel special in between the Bills game and the Titans game. Like, I do not think the Patriots are coming out flat in this one. Doesn't mean the Titans have to come out flat, but I don't think the Patriots are going to come out with lack of energy in this one.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But that doesn't mean they won't lose.
It's true.
We'll see. I
saw
Koherski.
What Mike McCoy is going to have up his sleeve.
Well, you know, there is something in all seriousness, just apart from this situation, and I don't know what it is because it's like, I loved Mike McCoy's answer the other day when I don't remember who asked him, but it was basically like, you know, maybe it was lame. It was like, what are these guys playing for, or something like that, right? Yeah. And he's like, yeah, you know how hard it is to be in the NFL, and that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Every one of these guys is, you better put something on film. I mean, you know, some people are Jeff Simmons. There's a few of those in the league. And, you know, and then most other people are some level of hoping to get another good deal, hoping to stay in the league, whatever. And so, you know, I think for whatever reason, whenever you have these coaching changes, you see it so often in college and pro football, I feel like, right, where you have this surge of energy, or like, it's like everybody's like, oh crap, I guess we are kind of screwing around, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it is, but it does happen. It is real. And then you add in all the other factors of this. I'm very interested. Now, maybe the Titans come out, maybe they're just incapable because they're so bad that it doesn't matter. That's possible. But I don't know, man. I feel like Mike McCoy may have a little something for Mike Vrabel.
Is it possible the offense, like, how different could it look? I mean,
that's a good question.
Probably not very much, given it's been only a week, right? Not even.
Yeah, but you can still call.
What can you do? Like, you know, Bo Hardigree's still calling the plays.
Well, TD is brought up many times. You know, the RPO stuff is, Cam loved that, did that a ton at Miami. They don't do it much. Why not do more of that? It's not like they don't have it in the playbook, right? I mean, and also I think just trying to intentionally take vertical shots. We don't know how many plays that maybe, you know, I mean, Callahan, before he was fired, would say this, like, there are some shots called where, you know, whatever, he gets sacked or whatever happens. But I feel like those are the two things, more RPOs and just trying to go vertical, to not have the game played in this little box like it has been too much this year.
I mean, there's a chance that, what if Cam Ward comes out and looks pretty good, plays his best game by far? I mean, the conversation on Monday is going to be, well, I got rid of Brian Callahan. Now Cam Ward's freed up. He's ready to go. Like, that's what the conversation is going to be.
Sure.
I tend to lean more towards, like, how capable is this offense right now with what they've got? You know, Ridley, who knows what that's going to look like on Sunday? Is he going to be able to play? You know, especially if he can't play. Like, how capable is this offense of putting together consistent drives in an NFL game? Based on where they are right now, both from a personnel standpoint and from the fact that, I mean, you do have a rookie quarterback playing his seventh game coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a good question.
It's a lot to ask.
It is. Now, I think, you know, there's probably some play callers in the NFL who could look at this situation and say, well, I could at least come up with, like, a coherent game plan, layer some plays, set some plays up, and, like, we'd have a chance, right? But, like you guys said, I mean, it's still Bo Hardigree. And so far, his short –
it's not going
stint
well.
As play caller, if anything, I mean, I understand the fourth quarter against the Arizona, but if anything, it's probably been a little bit less impressive than Callahan.
Yeah. 615 right in there. 737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans front. We'll get into the Vanderbilt and Tennessee front coming up in the next few minutes as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. If you're heading to Nissan Stadium for the Titans game on Sunday, stop by John Bon Jovi's before and pregame with 1025 the game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Pregame show brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. People are fired up on the text line this morning, Joe. I wouldn't know, but they are fired up on the text line, according to you.
I'm telling you, man. And it is, it's a pretty decisive win for, for kick my ass over
I'd like to wipe the smirk off Vrabel's face. Colin Shelbyville does ask, which city hates Amy more, Nashville or Houston? As you said, I think that would definitely be a strong Nashville at this
point. Moment.
But Matt does, he brings this up. I don't understand why Titans fans think Vrabel winning will somehow be a good thing. What do you think is going to happen to Amy? They stop buying tickets, Amy loses money. Yay for Titans fans. They're probably going to go full on Cleveland. You never go full on Cleveland. I hope we beat the crap out of Vrabel this weekend so that we get to hear his post-loss interview, Belichick style. Counterpoint. Monday morning, Miss Amy is stewing over a messy, rainy 23-3 loss to England. Quote, how do I beat that Michael Vrabel? I can't do your Amy impersonation.
I'm just happy you called it England, not New England.
What'd I say?
You called him England.
Over. I just took out the new. Tough loss to England there. Titans have switched to soccer. it's that bad.
Might be better off.
So anyway, this whole long quote says, how do I do it? You know what? I want that William Belichick to coach my Titans and beat that Michael Vrabel. End quote. There you go. How about that? How about this? This convinces Amy to go pluck Belichick away from his tremendous tenure at North Carolina.
You know, given the way that things have gone around here lately, that might add up for Belichick to be the next guy. Saying, well, why not? Go hire Bill. He's been a disaster. You've been a disaster. Maybe together you can figure it out.
I mean, he's got a way better chance of winning here than he does in college football. So
it's true.
You know, why not?
That is true. It's I'm interested to see the reaction on Sunday from the Titans fans who show up. By the way, no video tribute coming up for Vrabel, which I'm not surprised by at
all. That's confirmed?
Yeah, that's what Kuharski said.
That's confirmed and official. Okay. One more here. Megan says, I don't understand what lesson fans are expecting Amy to learn from the Titans getting their ass handed to them. She knows how pathetic this team is. They've been nothing but embarrassing all season. I want to watch a game that doesn't suck eggs.
I hear all that. In terms of the lesson, it kind of goes back to what I said yesterday. It does not really have anything to do with this game specifically. It's the totality of the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. You don't want any validation.
Yeah, like can you see what your decision making has done to this franchise, or are you just floating along out there and just owning the team and cashing your check and
yeah,
everything's good?
I mean, I think the way that she's reacted to stuff, which is now just like I'm not even going to put my name on a press release, probably tells you that the criticism has stung her and that she gets it, right? But again, when I say gets it, she just gets that it's bad. Doesn't get how to fix it.
Yeah,
and continues to do the okay. Who's voted off the island now? What do they do on Survivor? Like the tribunal or whatever? They meet together. They vote somewhere.
Tribal
off.
Council.
Tribal council. There you go. Yeah. Who's off next? Chad, you're up next. So until that cycle ends, you know, I don't know. I don't know how it gets better.
Yeah, it's gonna be. A long process, I think. Brandon on the YouTube chat says, Amy would love Jordan Hudson. Jordan Hudson can help out with a lot of things around here. Apparently she can run, you know, PR departments and all this other stuff.
Yeah, it's very, very versatile.
Very versatile.
Got a lot of businesses, a lot of trademark
stuff. Can you guys make sure you copy Jordan on all the emails now? Make sure she CC'd.
They tried to, trademark – Chapel Bill,
of them. Yeah.
But they had like other stuff. It was just like football. That's going to be trademarked under Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson. No, you can't trademark football. It wasn't that, but it was something that was like, are you really trying to do this? Now, Chapel Bill, that's pretty cool. Yeah, sure.
They got rejected for, I'm looking at a story from September the 8th. Do your job.
Yeah, there you
go. Got rejected. Ignore the noise. The Bellustrator. And no days off. All were rejected by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
Good. No days off, isn't it? The Taylor Lewan tweets every time.
Yeah. No days off.
No bad days. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the Belustrator I kind of like.
That one, I would be okay with them getting the Belustrator.
Yeah. I mean, I've never heard anybody actually say that.
No.
But the Belustrator.
No. That reminds me of the Czar of the Telestrator, Mike Capello.
Yeah.
Let's see. This says Patriots fans have 6 fan club parties tonight on Broadway, according to the Pats account. It's a complete takeover. What is
that? Yeah, it's going to be a lot of Patriots fans here.
Yeah, again, I think there's plenty of Patriots fans who live here. And yes, it's how it is. If you're a Patriots fan, you looked at the schedule, Nashville on mid-October, what's better, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, that's going to be my one trip I take this year.
Yeah.
We're going to Nashville.
Oh, and then you factor in.
It will be an absolute takeover.
There's, you know, also they're 4-2, and they just beat the Bills a couple weeks ago. Like, there's an excitement level there that just – and here, you know, we're already looking ahead to, all right, who's the next coach going to be and where are the Titans going to be picking in the draft. Like, it's just – it's a horrible set of circumstances from a home crowd standpoint heading into this game.
Right. Like, I got into this argument with, like, Stilly and Caroline about when the Bills always – you know, the Bills always have a huge traveling contingent and, you know, guard your plastic tables. They still didn't. They did not at all for any – I can't believe anybody would suggest this. It's so ridiculous. They did not have more fans than the Titans fans that Monday night game. They did not. But they had, like, a good 35% of the stadium, which is a huge amount of people.
Yeah.
I mean, they had 20,000-plus people in there. This is going to be – at least that many, and then the Titans fans, I'm looking at get-in price here for, let's see, two tickets for this game. Yeah, I mean, the uppers are right now, they're $30.
Yeah.
So,
you want to go to the game.
Well, and that's the thing is, to your point on the even Patriots fans, it's like some of them planned it and all that stuff, but they're now, I bet you know, this is like one of those, you can do a last-minute trip, and like we can get tickets for like nothing, you know?
Right.
And I just feel like it's going to be way more Patriots fans deciding to do that than Titans fans.
Yeah, I would say there are probably not very many Titans fans that aren't already going to the game that are just very much looking forward to spending their money this weekend, would be my guess. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025 is tomorrow's game, the biggest game in Vanderbilt football history. We will get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Speaking of Vanderbilt, they're taking on LSU tomorrow. Pregame at 9:30 on 102.5 The Game with the kickoff at 11. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.